Well, let's turn now to consider this passage from 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm going to take verses 7 and 8 as my text for this morning. You know, at this time of the year, after the stuff of Christmas and all the extra stuff that we do, eating and meeting and greeting and all that, we start thinking about what we're going to do about it, what we've done to ourselves. We're going to lose weight and get fit and so forth. And it's right and proper and good. Now, back in the late 1950s, there was an exercise program which was called 5BX. And that stood for the 5 Basic Exercises. It was developed by the Royal Canadian Air Force. And it was published as a booklet. But it became a phenomenal success, with millions of copies being sold throughout the world. And this little plan, this 5BX, the 5 Basic Exercises, consisted of simple exercises which were designed to be carried out every day. And apparently they were supposed to be achievable in 11 minutes. And they involved stretching, sit-ups, back extensions, press-ups and running. And each of them designed to improve an area of physical fitness and well-being. And so this one I'd like to suggest something similar to the 5BX plan, but something adapted to aid us towards spiritual fitness, growth and development, which should be carried out daily, though I'm not suggesting you should try and get it in 11 minutes. You take your time over these daily exercises with what liberty the Lord has given you. So my text is the back end of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and verse 8, which say, after Paul's talked about nutrition, good nutrition, he then goes on in these verses to say, exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. So here's the first one, exercise number one, stretching. Stretching the muscles is foundational. It's a foundational preliminary, if you like, to any physical exercise. And it's common for athletes to stretch before and after exercise in order to reduce the risk of injury and increase their performance. The Word of God is similarly foundational to the Christian spiritual fitness, as it stretches our knowledge of God's words, God's ways and God's will. And thus, it underpins and promotes all of our spiritual health and vitality. Psalm 97, verse 7 to 10 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And the Apostle Paul told the Ephesian elders in his goodbye message to them in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. It was by exercising the word of God that the Lord Jesus resisted the temptations of Satan. We remind ourselves of that episode in the wilderness, Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 to 11. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. It is with the word of God in our hearts that we too will be better equipped and enabled to resist the temptations which lead to sin. The psalmist writes, 119 verse 11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The word of God will help us to grow in grace and knowledge. Therefore, let's develop the habit of reading God's word daily. Read God's word systematically. If you don't already do that, begin now. Start slow, perhaps reading a chapter of the Old Testament and a chapter of the New Testament every day. And this way, you'll read the New Testament with its 260 chapters 1.5 times through in the year, and the Old Testament with its 929 chapters in 2.5 years. And why not make it an aspiration to progress toward reading the Bible right through in a year, at least once in your life? And to do this requires you read just 3 Old Testament chapters and 1 New Testament chapter each day. Follow a reading plan. There are plenty to choose from. I'd be happy to help. But try to read devotionally. You know, meditating on what you read. Now, Christian meditation is not transcendental or mystic, but it's rather prayerfully and thoughtfully, trying to make sense of all that you read and seeking to apply what you learn to yourself, to others, and to the world around you. So the lesson is, in the stretching exercise, the word of God is foundational to our spiritual fitness, helping us to grow in grace and knowledge. The second exercise is concerned with building core stability. Physically, core stability refers to the midsection of the body, which empowers the body to do other strenuous things, like leaping and lifting and running. And spiritually, what empowers the soul is prayer. Together with the word of God, prayer is foundational to spiritual fitness. It's through the power of prayer that peace with God is to be found, both for the sinner, we read in Acts chapter 8 verse 22, Peter speaking to Simon the sorcerer, Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. And not just for the sinner, but the saint too. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 to 10, we read, But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. It's through the power of prayer that we also find the peace of God. Paul writing to the Philippians chapter 4 verses 6 and 7, Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's through the power of prayer that we find strength in God. Paul, writing to the Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 16 and verse 20, says, For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It's through the power of prayer that God sends the gospel opportunities that we seek. Paul told the Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. It's through the power of prayer that we receive boldness to witness into those God-given opportunities. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. It's through prayer, the power of prayer, that we receive wisdom from God. James, in his epistle, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. So let us be those who pray. Let's be those who pray earnestly, vigilantly, and with heartfelt thanks. And as Paul encourages, Colossians 4 verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So the lesson here is that consistent and fervent prayer will strengthen our relationship with God. So as we read the word of God, let's also pray for wisdom. Let's pray daily for forgiveness, strength, peace, opportunity, and boldness. The third exercise is aimed at improving flexibility. Now, exercise routines often focus on building muscle so that you can go faster, be stronger, and look more toned. But there must also be exercises which aim to improve flexibility, posture, and fluid movement. And these are good for reducing the risk of injuries through physical activities. And improved flexibility enriches life by making everyday tasks easier to perform. And the exercise that gives us that sort of fluidity and flexibility and that enriches spiritual life is praise. Praise is the spiritual sacrifice that we offer to God. The writer to the Hebrew tells us, 13:15, by him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The Christian delights to praise God in both prayer and song. And furthermore, the singing of praises in particular, it's not just for when we're feeling on top of the world. It's equally important when we're in the depths of some difficulty. Remember Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail, having been beaten and locked in the stocks. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You know, the songs of praise that Paul and Silas offered to God as they languished in the stocks in that jail, they not only lifted their own souls, but they led to the salvation of the jailer and his family. And our songs of praise, they're a good way for us to respond to the protection and the guidance and the goodness of God. James, in his epistle, chapter 5, verse 13, says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Praising God is foundational to our spiritual well-being, both individually and collectively, and a way to experience the grace of God. Again, Paul, writing to the Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And again to the Ephesians in chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. But just one word of caution. Just as we need a good Bible translation, we also need a good hymnody. We need to sing hymns that are biblically sound, hymns that are faithful to God's word. And always remember, it's God we're praising. It's not ourselves that we're entertaining. So the lesson is that praising God as part of our daily devotional exercises, it fortifies our relationship with God and thereby enriches our souls. Now, the fourth exercise is concerned with building strength. Physical exercises to build muscle and strength are sometimes called calisthenics, which, according to Wikipedia at least, is a technique that uses the body's weight as resistance to perform multi-joint compound movements, thereby enhancing overall strength, stability, and coordination. Well, the spiritual activity that strengthens, stabilizes, and coordinates our relationship with God and with other Christians is fellowship. The church is the body of Christ, which is built up when each part does its share. And fellowship is crucial to remaining faithful, steadfast, and true, both to God and to each other. Paul, writing to the Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 to 16, says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by the wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Fellowship of the saints is a source of mutual comfort, edification, and strength. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And fellowship is the way to avoid becoming hardened individually by the deceitfulness of sin. The writer to the Hebrews, chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, tells us, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." You know, our meeting together on the Lord's Day and midweek, they're designed to stir one another up towards love and good works. Again, the writer to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 23 and 25 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." church fellowship should take every advantage of the opportunities offered to assemble together, not just on Sunday, but every time the door is open and a meeting is convened. So the lesson is that the fellowship of the saints strengthens our faith in God and binds us, the children of God, together. So exercise 5 is aimed at increasing stamina. You know, some physical exercises like walking, running or swimming, they seek to improve endurance and stamina, which is really about how long you can do something without getting tired. And it requires both physical and mental effort. Now, the spiritual activity that promotes endurance and stamina is that of doing good works, which are essential if we are to reap the spiritual benefits of salvation. Now, we are not saved by good works. We know that. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, a familiar verse to us, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And writing to Titus, he said, chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, "But after that the kindness and the love of God our Saviour toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." But nevertheless, it's true that the believer in Christ has been created to do good works, and in so doing to bring glory to God. Again, Paul, writing to the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, said, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And the Lord Jesus himself, in the Sermon of the Mount, chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, tells us, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, thus, we're to bear fruit for God in every good work. Paul, writing to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 10 to 12, reminds us that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthening with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And to the Corinthians he wrote, 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord." However, the Holy Spirit counsels us to be watchful of encroaching fatigue in the doing of good works. Paul, writing to the Galatians, chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." But doing these good works, it doesn't mean that we're to become do-gooding busybodies, always on the lookout for an opportunity to take charge of any or every situation. And that is the way to wear yourself out. And it's the way to do little good as well, probably no good. In that last passage of Paul's, the key phrase is as we have therefore opportunity. You know, the opportunities will come in the providence of God. It's not an excuse to be deliberately lazy, but it is rather an encouragement to be sensitive, to recognise and acknowledge those times and occasions when the Lord brings someone or something either into your life or into your sphere of influence or our sphere of influence. You know, on our fridge at home here, there's a card which sent from a friend which we've kept, and it says, if the Lord has brought you to it, he will see you through it. You know, that is, he will supply the strength, the endurance and the stamina to do his work. He will supply that. And the thing is, the more that we do in his strength, the more we'll be enabled to do. So let's take every God-given opportunity to share the gospel with the lost and to minister to the needy, the poor or the sick, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. You know, our outlook and our desire should be to use our time, our money and our talents, you know, the things that God has blessed us with for the glory of God and for the blessing of others. The Apostle Peter said in his first epistle, chapter 4, verses 8 to 10, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so the lesson is that good works, done God's way, will build spiritual endurance and stamina. So here are five basic spiritual exercises that involve stretching by reading the Word of God thoroughly and systematically, that address core stability, spending time in prayer, improving flexibility as we pray and sing songs of praise to God, that build strength as we enjoy the fellowship of the saints in the company of our Lord and Saviour, and also the increasing of stamina, doing the good works that we've been created for. And engaged in daily, these exercises should go a long way toward improving our spiritual fitness. But no, these are but basic exercise. This is not an exhaustive list. It doesn't tell us everything we need to be or do in Christ. But nonetheless, putting these into practice should establish a good foundation and lead to a better and a more profitable and a more enjoyable walk with the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that is now, and of that which is to come. Amen. Well, we'll turn again and sing a hymn, hymn number 565. Weary of earth and laden with my sin, I look at heaven and long to enter in. But there no evil thing may find a home, and yet I hear a voice that bids me come. Hymn 565. O Lord, length of days does not profit me, except the days are passed in thy presence, in thy service, to thy glory. Give me grace that proceeds, follows, guides, sustains, sanctifies, aids every hour, that I may not be one moment apart from thee, but may rely on thy Spirit to supply every thought, speak every word, direct every step, prosper every work, build up every mote of faith, and give me a desire to show forth thy praise, testify thy love, advance thy kingdom. I launch my bark on the unknown waters of this year, with thee, O Father, as my harbour, thee, O Son, at my helm, thee, O Holy Spirit, filling my sails. Guide me to heaven with my loins girt, my lamp burning, my ear open to thy calls, my heart full of love, my soul free. Give me thy grace to sanctify me, thy comforts to cheer, thy wisdom to teach, thy right hand to guide, thy counsel to instruct, thy law to judge, thy present to stabilize. May thy fear be my awe, thy triumphs my joy. Amen.